Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 178 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this also is program number 280. If you'd like a copy of it, at the end of the program, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can order it, by phone, fax, email, or just mailing to us. Another thing is that all these, you can order a tape or a CD copy. Postage is paid, handling is paid, and it's absolutely, if you don't have finances, it's absolutely free. And if you do have finances, help us out to win souls all over the world, because the time of the coming of the Lord is at hand. He has informed me that as soon as the 144,000th Jew is saved, that the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this earth in rapid succession. The plagues that are mentioned, some people may think that it's going to take years, but they'll just be like maybe one a day, or maybe even one a week, something like that. It's going to happen very fast, and it's going to happen abruptly, without notice, like a thief in the night. And so only what you do in this world for the Lord is going to count at the judgment bar of God. So we have to be careful, like if you've laid away thousands, hundreds, millions, or hundreds of millions, or even billions of dollars, loosen up with it, because if you don't spend money on getting the gospel out, you should make pledges for our radio broadcast, or if you want your hometown evangelized, then pledge enough finances, and we'll put the literature that I've written, and I've got hundreds of pieces of literature, that we can put full-page ads of it in the newspapers. We have hundreds of letters and emails that have come in telling us that they received the gospel by reading my literature in the newspapers, that the literature that the Lord gave me in these newspapers. So a lot of the people that I preach to, they want to hear the truth. And they don't. It doesn't matter if they're told how that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the four gospels, were written in Aramaic and in Hebrew, because Aramaic was the language of all the lands over there, and Hebrew is just a division or a section of Aramaic. And this is the language, these are the languages that Jesus spoke and also his disciples. And the Lord wants the crooked ways, all the crooked things that have been taught in the world in these last days, he wants them to be made straight. He wants people to get the straight word of God so that they can rely on it, trust in it, and know that it is really the truth. There's so many people that are preaching a portion of the gospel that are saying that certain things in the Bible are of the devil. And they're not of the devil. There's, like, for instance, having more than one wife is only ordained by the Lord. And I'm going to, but not everybody is to do that. I mean, I'm just preaching the Word of God. But I see people going to prison for things that maybe God did for them. God may have given them two or more wives, and he told them, and I'll show you in the Bible where God gave David several wives, and he stated that if that weren't enough, all you would have had to do is ask me, and I would have given you as many, many more than what I gave you. So God, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no condemnation in the Bible for that sort of thing. Now, a lot of people that are crazed, sex crazed, would say, oh boy, this is going to be great. But the Lord has to tell you to do something like that. Very few people are ever told to have more than one wife. But it is scriptural. And if anyone can find any condemnation for having more than one wife, if the Lord gave them to him, if you can find any condemnation for polygamy, I'll pay you $50,000. If you can find out that no polygamist shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not there. All right, in the Old or New Testament. Now, there's a reward for you if you can find it in the Bible. Now, this ought to set you people that are I don't have much money out there. It sets you off to reading the Bible. Read it. And if you can find it where there's condemnation for that, in the King James Version or the original text, I'll give you $50,000, even $100,000. All right? Cash. So don't let the government tell you this, that there's a scripture in the Bible that tells us that in the latter days there'll be seducing spirits. Read that over the mic, Sharon.
Okay.
Read that.
First Timothy.
The people in the world can hear something from the Bible that isn't twisted. Okay, go ahead.
1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter...
Now the Holy Spirit is speaking expressly. This is very important to the Lord, because how many abortions were there in New York City alone last... Where was it? What year?
In 2005.
In 2005. How many abortions?
88,981.
88,981. And what was the other year you mentioned?
2004, there was 91,000.
2004, there was 91,000.
673.
And how many of them were not married?
44% of all births.
44% of all births. And how many condoms does the school system give out to pre-teenagers? How many condoms in what year?
1.5 million a month.
1.5 million condoms they give out to boys and girls in the school system for pre-teenagers and teeny boppers they're giving them. So the government is the one that is like causing people to be overstimulated to where they just have free sex. Now, the Vatican has always been, they always approve adultery and fornication, but they don't allow divorce. But the reason I want to preach the Bible to you is to show these young girls that are have reached the age of maturity to where they can have babies. In other words, they have their monthly. They can be married. Now, Jesus said, those that the Son has set free are free indeed. But the Vatican, the world government, would make you feel that you're a criminal if you love somebody and you want to get married to them and they have a job and they can support you and children if they occur. They want to make you feel like you're some kind of a devil, when in reality, the scripture that Sharon is about to read tells you that they are devils. Okay, read it, Sharon, from the top, that part.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith.
Yeah, there's a great falling away, because you can tell people the things that I'm telling you right now, and they just hate you, and they think that the Bible is evil, and they'll depart from the faith. Because, they believe that the Word of God is wrong, and that the United Council of Churches, which is the Antichrist, along with the world government and the media, that these are the ones you should believe. So if you believe anything other than the Word of God, then the Bible says you've departed from the faith, you're part of the great falling away from the Lord, and the Bible says he's sending you strong delusions. God sends you strong delusions to make you believe a lie, because the love of what we're reading here is not in you. The love of the Word of God is not in you. So in the eyes of God, you're a despised criminal. And God says he hates evil. He hates anyone in evil. The biggest evil thing that you could ever do is disbelieve God, like Eve did. Now, the seducing spirits in the last days will do what? Let's hear it.
That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits.
Okay, in other words, you're listening. Giving heed means that you're listening to seducing evil spirits. You're paying attention to them. And that you don't want to get on Satan's toes by saying, by complying with the Word of God. So you immediately depart from the faith in the Word of God and become part of the Antichrist regime. And the Bible says that don't think that the Lord is coming unless you first see a great falling away. a great departure from the Word of God, a great departure from the faith in God's Word rather than the faith in Satan's despicable, filthy, lying words. Now, these preteen women and these teenage boys and the teenage girls are having sex, and the government is helping them along with it. They give them perforated condoms. They're giving them birth control pills by the amount of 1.5 million a month. And they show them these sex films, how to have sex, as though those brats need that. What they need is to be freed from this filthy law that allows them to have sex in their before they're teenagers and also while they're teenagers. But they say this is evil to get married. Well, if you're married, then there's no condemnation to you. If you're in the Lord, there's no condemnation to you for being married. That's of the Lord. The Lord said it's not good for the man to live alone. And therefore, he created for him out of Adam's rib a helpmate. But what they're saying is that it's evil to be married and to be married to a man that has an income and he's a steady man and somebody that will take care of the wife and children. This is evil. And I want, the reason I'm preaching this is not because I'm one of those kind of people, and even if I was, it wouldn't be wrong in the eyes of God. Only seducing spirits would say that there's something wrong with this. And the Lord keeps imploring me to tell these things because they're putting people in prison for something that is so of the Lord, it's not even, it's just ridiculous for people not to receive what God said. Because if God says it, that settles it. All right? Okay, so continue reading.
Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits.
Paying attention to devils. That's what the whole world is doing. They're paying attention to devils. And that's why the Bible also says that the whole world is deceived. Okay? Now, they'll say, well, we don't need any more children because we don't have enough food and water. That's a filthy lie. We destroy more food than we are eating. And the pollution thing, the government is the one that has stopped automobiles from having... they have automobiles now for years that run without gasoline. So they deliberately are making pollution. Everything, every abominable thing that is happening today is coming from Rome, the Roman Catholic cult. And they make all kinds of pretenses, you know, that they're innocent and all this, but they're the ones that murdered for years Christians and Jews, true Christians. The Catholic cult are not Christians. Now, I'm not saying that there's not Christians in there, because a lot of our congregation, probably more than two-thirds, are former Catholics. And there's a lot of people in the Catholic Church that want to serve the Lord. It's the hierarchy that anti-Semitic Luther, Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Luther, said that the Vatican, he traveled from Germany to out in Rome, he said that the Vatican is a sewer of corruption. And there are millions of books written from nuns and former priests that got out of that organization, that political satanic organization. And so you can read their testimonies by the millions if you wanted to. But that's the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not just one person. It's one person that, just like Christ is one person, and all that are going to heaven are in that one person of Christ, and all that are going to hell and the lake of fire are all those that are in the other person, which is the Antichrist. So John stated that even at his time when he was alive, that there were many Antichrists in the world. Okay, so let's finish this off. And where is this? In 1 Timothy
Chapter 4, verse 1 through 3.
Okay, verse 1 through 3. Then what?
Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Yeah. Then what?
Forbidding to marry.
Forbidding to marry. They want all you young teenagers out there and pre-teenagers to get pregnant, which is a horrible sin to have sex before you're married. And then for you to go to the abortion parlor and destroy the child. The shedding innocent blood is one of the things, one of the seven things that God hates more than anything else in this world. And so you commit first-degree murder, and there's two shots right there that are going to cause your soul to spend eternity in the lake of fire, hell and the lake of fire. So if I were you, you know, they say, well, we have to change the laws, a lot of people. There's so many evil laws that it's incredible. But if you're going to do something like that, you know, get married, which is a horrible sin to Satan, because he doesn't want to obey the Lord, which says to be fruitful and multiply, bring forth children. We're going to prove to you also that you've heard of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, this is where the Bible comes from, is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Abraham went to one of his relatives named Noah and learned the ways of the Lord from him. And so it says in the book of Jasher, and in the book of Joshua, and where else in the Bible it tells, is it not written in the book of Jasher? And I often wondered, why is the book of Jasher not in the Bible? Then I found out that the Catholics are the ones that picked and chose. One Catholic man picked and chose the thing, which books of the Bible should be in the Protestant Bible and in the Catholic Bible. And therefore, he left many books out of the Bible. Now, there are the lost books of the Bible. And we have the book of Jasher over here, if you'd like a copy of it. If you don't have any finances or enough to pay for it, we'll send it to you free of charge, just like we do the Messiah book and Bibles, if you don't have enough money, and my literature and tapes and CDs. But this is doctrines of devils, forbidding to marry and forbidding the eating of different things that the Lord has created. Okay, so in the book of Jasher, is it not written in the book of Jasher? Do you have that scripture there?
Yes.
Okay, where do you find that scripture? Is it not written in the book of Jasher? Then you'll probably wonder why the book of Jasher, when the Bible exalts the book of Jasher so much, why it's not in there. In the books of Enoch, in the three books of Enoch, and the two books of Clement, and many other books, the book of Wisdom, the Maccabees, and several others. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day.
Right. Then where's another place in the Bible that says, is it not written in the book of Jasher?
2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher.
Now what else is written in the book of Jasher? Let's talk about Rebecca and also her husband, Isaac. Let's read that in the book of Jasher. Now, if you believe the word of God, you're saved, and if you doubt it, you're damned. All right? Where is this in the book of Jasher?
Chapter 24, verses 40 through 45.
Okay, read it, please.
And the young woman was of very comely appearance.
This is Rebecca. Then what?
She was a virgin, and Rebecca was 10 years old in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 43. And they sent Eliezer away with his men. And the servants took Rebekah, and he went and returned to his master to the land of Canaan.
Yeah, his master, Isaac, in the land of Canaan land. In Canaan land, then what?
Verse 44, and Isaac took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he brought her into the tent.
Into his mother's tent. Is it not written, the Bible would say, in the book of Jasher? Yes, it is. So instead of giving these women birth control, these young women, they're a woman once they reach their monthly, according to even the old Webster's Dictionary and the new dictionaries. Puberty is when they come into the age of the ability to reproduce and bring forth other human beings. And so the Lord doesn't, he wants them to marry when they're young like that so that they can have many children and so that they can also have grandchildren early in life and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
And that they can be supported and that the man be older and that has wealth. Now, how old was Isaac when they married? Wasn't he 40 years old and she was 10? He was 30 years older. And you hear on the news media, the mouth of Satan, that it's, oh my God, he's 10 years older. And with Mary, she was around 7 years old when she was given to marriage, but they cannot have sexual relationships until they reach the age of puberty, which might be some cases 10, some cases 11, some cases 12, and even in some cases 13 or 14. But Mary was espoused to Joseph, and what that means is that he couldn't have sex with her, but he was married to her, and he stayed in his own house, and she stayed with her mother and with the priests until she reached the age of puberty. And so when she reached that age, which was around 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there, she was found with child. She was pregnant. And Joseph, you know, he was a just man. In other words, he just means that you believe the word of God. And so Joseph wanted to put her away. In other words, kill her, because that's the law. If you have sex, if you're espoused and she was married to Joseph, even though they didn't have sex, you can be married to a woman and not have sex with her if she's not of age yet. If it's of the Lord, and it has to be of the Lord. But these girls in school and the people in school, just in New York City alone, they're giving out of 1.5 million condoms. And it doesn't even say how many birth control pills in this article. Where was that article found?
The New York Sun.
It's in the New York Sun. What date? Do you have it?
December 21st, 2006.
December 21st. Okay? So the people, this government is approving murder. If you there's so many people that tried to stop these people from aborting children because they know they're murderers. But the government protects them, this Antichrist, Satan's government protects them with full force, and they'll have you shot even if you raise your voice up about such a thing as this seducing evil spirits in these last days. So what else say, Sharon?
Verse 45, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of his uncle Bethuel, for a wife.
He was 40 years old and she was 10, right?
Right.
Is it not written in the book of Jasher that the Bible exalts? Amen?
Amen.
It is. And so, again, if you'd like to have more of the Bible, because the Catholics took away from the Bible, and the one world government has taken away from it, they don't want you to read that. The reason that they took it away, because it says that women can marry when they reach puberty, when they're 10, 11, 12. In the Middle East, women reach puberty earlier than they do up north, over here in the Western Hemisphere. And I come from the Great Northwest up in Montana. And I never believed, you know, that you could get married to anyone 10 or 11 or 15 or anything like that, because, first of all, I never was interested in such young girls as that. And really, in the United States of America, they don't know the Bible. It was written by Middle Easterners, Jews. And they don't know the idioms of the Middle East. They don't know anything about, you know, the customs of the Jews that the Lord laid down to the Jews. I have many books of the Bible, like the book of Adam and Eve, the book of Noah, fragments from the book of Noah. And I have books from Seth that are written by him. Noah and Jasher, and I've got the three books of Enoch. And, you know, I know that these are parts of the Bible because they don't deny anything that's in the Bible, and they explain the Bible a lot better. If you read the book of Jasher, you're going to understand the Bible a lot better, okay, the rest of the Bible, because it doesn't contradict anything. And it certainly doesn't deny that there's seducing spirits in the world, that they're devils, that they are forbidding marriage and handing out condoms and birth control pills. Devils, you people, are devils. And you're paying attention to these seducing spirits. You're giving heed to them. That means you're paying attention to them. Okay, now, I think it's about time for me to sing a song right now. And this is a battle. You know, there's a battle going on. It's a battle of Armageddon. That's war between the words of God and the voids of Satan. And so Joshua fit that battle, and we're fighting that battle. And here it is. I'm with J.D. Sumner. They're backing me up. J.D. Sumner and the Stamps. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down, God knows that. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and talk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua, he was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until his work was done. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the men of Saul, but there's a man like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go, go, ram, boom, Joshua cried, oh, the battle and me, my hand. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul, but there's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Well, they tell me that young the Joshua spear was a well not 12 long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. Yet bold and brave he stood, salvation in his hand. Go rope and ran home, Joshua cried, cause the devil can't do you no harm. God knows that Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, where the walls come tumbling down. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go, blow, then ran home, Joshua cried, cause the battle can't do you no harm. Then the lamb, ram, sheep, horns begin to blow, the trumpets begin to sound. Then Joshua shouted, glory, and the walls came tumbling down. God knows that Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Well, Joshua wasn't so concerned about winning friends and influencing people. He, especially the people of Jericho, man, they didn't like him very well because he was doing what the Lord said. go around the city 6 times, 6 days in a row, and then the 7th time, go around it 7 times, and then shout, and all the walls come down. Amen? Then they went in there and killed them all, because they're devils. Demonic people. They hated God. And, see, Christians, we don't do that now, because the Lord said, vengeance is mine. But the Lord is going to start taking vengeance on the world. He's going to start pouring out his plagues on this earth, and it's not going to be pretty. He told me very plainly that the 144,000 Jews are going to be saved very, very soon, the last one of them. And then the four angels that are holding back the winds in the kingdom of heaven, this angel went up towards, ascended up towards them and says, no, not now. Hurt not the earth or the water until the seal of God's seal is in the heads of these 144,000. That's going to happen real soon. But in the next chapter, it tells that then all everything is going to become a nightmare here on this earth. And people are going to be sorry because it's going to be too late. Those that are holy, let them be holy still. Those that are unclean, you must stay unclean because there will be no more salvation. When God blows the whistle and all these the entire earth turns into a nightmare, there's no more salvation. You could cry out and scream all you want, but you won't be able to die, and you won't be able for a while. And until the Lord's angels start torture you for so many months, you'll be crying out to die. You won't be able to because you preferred the word of Satan rather than the word of the Lord. Okay, now we have some testimonials. Let's read a few testimonials here. I promised that we'd do that, and we've got so involved with the scriptures in the last couple of days that we didn't read many testimonies. Yesterday we did, but the day before we didn't. Okay, go ahead and read. Where's this one from?
This is from Los Angeles.
Okay.
To Pastor Tony, praise the Lord, sir. I wanted to let you know about a response from my sister. She had been getting your literature. She said she wasn't really reading it. She was just recently going through a divorce, and her husband committed adultery on her. She had your literature, 5 Steps to Salvation, set aside, and she read it. She said the sinner's prayer, and she got saved. She also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was really extraordinary and a major testimony to me.
It really is. You know, people out there that are committing adultery, a lot of guys that I used to run around with before I was saved, they wanted to see how many women they could have sex with. It was a matter of pride. I don't think it was really that they really desired it that much, or it was just like to show off to their friends, you know, how many times they had sexual relationships with married women and unmarried women. And I know now that the women, even though they are so gung-ho to have sex with just about anybody, as long as they look halfway decent, they really, when it boils down, they start hearing the gospel, and the sex doesn't mean that much to them anymore, unless they're out-and-out perverts. Okay, go ahead and read some more of this, because here you see so many divorces, but in the Bible, it's unheard of. Okay, go ahead.
We grew up as preacher's kids in the church, but really didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit because we saw people doing, like, circus acts in the church.
Well, yes, you will see that in some churches, but there's no circus acts in my church or any of my churches all around the world. Unless I don't know of it. Maybe there would be one here and there, but I don't know of anything like that because it's not... It is not scriptural. Then what else?
When I came to Los Angeles and got saved in the Tony Alamo Christian Church, 2 or 3 days later, I went into the prayer room and I was praying to God and thanking Him for my salvation. As I was praying, the Lord poured out the baptism of the Holy Spirit on me, and I began to speak with tongues of angels, as I know now. The Holy Spirit has changed my life. It will be 7 years in March. That same Holy Spirit has begun a work in my sister's life, Praise the Lord, Dante.
Right. Once you read the Bible, you've been saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you read the Bible, then you can't understand how you neglected the Bible for so many years. And it's just, to me, so sad when people have neglected it and then they die and they go out to a Christless grave. They go right out into hell. And then later, when after judgment, hell, death and hell is cast into the lake of fire for those that neglected the word of God. The first chapter of Proverbs tells what God's going to do. He's going to laugh and mock at you when you're going out into hell in the lake of fire. And there's no escape from there. No remedy, no relief whatsoever. Okay, go ahead.
This one's from Fort Smith, Arkansas.
All right.
Sir, while distributing your literature in the Fort Smith area, I handed a woman a piece of gospel literature. Minutes later, the woman came up to me and started asking directions to the church. As I started to speak
to our church, and it was one of my gospel tracts, right?
Yes.
Okay.
As I started to speak to her, she told me that she was having dreams, and Tony Alamo was the name that came to her in her dreams. She went on to say she didn't know who Tony Alamo was until I handed her this piece of gospel literature, and she saw Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. She continued to tell me that she looked down at the title of the literature that Tony Alamo had written, which was entitled Difficult Mountain, and she said that this was exactly what she's been going through in her life. She was so surprised because this was so supernatural. Praise the Lord, Miriam.
Okay, anything else?
There's one from Fullerton, California, from our witnessing line. A lady named Mary called for literature and a radio flyer because she would like to hear you, Pastor Alamo, on the radio. She said she was just studying the scriptures in Ezekiel chapter 37, and when she opened the paper, there was your article in the Orange County Herald. She couldn't believe it. She said this article was wonderful, and it is used by the Holy Spirit to raise up dry bones to all of its readers. She said the scripture backup is wonderful because she doesn't just listen to preachers. She only believes the Bible.
Right. That's only what I preach and teach. This the plain Bible. And I'm sliding in the some of the lost books of the Bible, because anyone that adds to or takes away from the Bible, there's terrible retribution for that. All right, now, Sharon, let's go to the second chapter of the book of Luke. All right?
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Verse 3, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David.
Right, everybody had to go where they were from or their ancestors are from. And the city of David is Bethlehem of Judea. And that's where Joseph was from, that lineage of David. Then what?
Which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Okay, espoused wife. Okay, now let's read that exhortation on what espousal is, and really quick from that you have found in the book, which we've been knowing for many years. So go ahead.
Quote, but the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. While Mary, his mother, was makirta, bought for a price.
Now, see, in Israel, the custom is way different. The land of God, where God's favorite place, Israel, it is not Palestine, it's Israel. God gave Israel the land of milk and honey to the Jews, not to the Palestinians. And so just in the last days, people started calling it Palestine. Okay, go ahead and read.
Bought for a price for Joseph. Before he knew her, she was found.
He bought Mary. That's what everybody does. You give a dowry and you buy your wife so that you own her. It's like Jesus bought us with his precious blood. And therefore, he claims ownership of us. And therefore, he wants to live in our body with his Father by the Spirit. And he wants to use our bodies. He wants to be in us. as the continuation of his incarnation in this world. So he that's when we buy a wife, or the Jews buy a wife, that's the way it is. They own that woman. Okay, then what?
Before he knew her, she was...
That's why when they commit adultery, after you bought something and then somebody else uses it, and you can't give permission for your wife to have sexual relationships with anybody else. That's your property, and this is where your children are to be born. All right? Then what else?
Before he knew her, she was found pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was a just man.
Yeah, it means just. He believes in the justice of the Bible. So that means he knew that he had to stone her to death because at that time he didn't know that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm teaching you the real Bible, the real meaning of it. And even when they've caught a woman in adultery, they says the law says that she must be stoned to death, these men said to Jesus. And he said, that's right. Pick up stones now. And you that are without sin, cast the first stone, because he knew that all of them were the ones that also committed adultery, fornication with her. Okay? Then go ahead.
But Joseph, her husband, was a just man and did not let it be known, thinking to put her away privately.
Well, he wanted to kill her privately, because it was a shame to him to have a wife that had sex. He bought her, and then she goes and has sex with some other man. Here she is pregnant. But then the Lord appeared to her. Okay, the angel of the Lord. Go ahead.
While he was meditating over this, the angel of God appeared to him in a dream and said unto him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take your wife Mary. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Among the people who still live according to the ancient customs, a marriage contract is not binding until the price for the girl is paid in full. The wedding follows soon after payment of the price.
Okay, now this is Middle Eastern law and custom. Okay, then what? The Jews wrote the Bible, and they know what's right and wrong. All right? Now, the ones that haven't accepted Jesus, they don't know anything yet. Okay, then what?
In the East, courtship with prospective brides is unknown.
Right, to go on dates and things like this is totally unscriptural. And Hulk Hogan, who is a friend of mine, I see him letting his daughter going out on dates, and this is really bad. And, of course, you know, I don't know if he's accepted the Lord or not, but Hulk, if you're listening, you don't do that, all right, because you're putting your daughter in harm's way because it overstimulates young people to be together and petting and kissing. And that's how so many of them wind up pregnant. You don't let your daughters date or your sons until they find somebody that they want to get married to. And then when that happens, you go out with them as chaperones and buy them a chicken sandwich or a fish sandwich or something like that, or whatever you like, spaghetti, and so that there's no hanky-pank going on, okay? And then if they, after talking to each other, they still love each other or like each other, and then, you know, you can start arranging for wedding bells. Okay? And that's the way it is, really, Christian, biblical Christianity. Okay? Aramaic, Hebrew, and Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. No other way will do. It's absolutely forbidden. It doesn't happen. Then what?
An engagement is simply an informal announcement which the bridegroom's parents make. Therefore, the verbal agreement is temporary and not binding to either party. Thus, before the dower is paid, the sole jurisdiction over the prospective bride is that of her parents. Jacob had no money or cattle to pay for his wives, so he had to work 14 years for his uncle Laban.
This is Jewish custom, Hebrew. All right, then what? You got no money, no tiki, no washi, all right? You go to work. Then what?
He had to work 14 years for his uncle Laban in order to marry two of his uncle's daughters.
Mm-hmm.
When the price of a bride is paid, she becomes automatically responsible only to her husband whenever her conduct and chastity are questioned. Her parents no longer have anything to say. There is one exception, which is so unusual and has been kept so sacred in the marital customs, and that is that when a young girl who is underage is given in marriage, a verbal agreement is entered into between the parents of the parties concerned, especially when the bridegroom is a widower of an older age or one who has more than one wife. The bridegroom should respect his newly wedded wife until she arrives at the age of maturity.
In other words, puberty. Then what? Where she can have children. Okay, before she reaches that, she can't have children, so a man can't touch her. All right, then what?
In the East, the marriageable age for girls is 12. But many girls, for various reasons, are given in marriage at the age of 7. The little bride dresses as a married woman. She performs her...
All right, now where is this at? Where did she find this at?
This is from Idioms in the Bible Explained and a Key to the Original Gospels by George M. Lamsa.
Now, Lamsa is an Aramaic. He wrote the Aramaic Bible, and he lives in the Middle East. He understands the customs, so that's all we'll read of that. So let's go back into the Bible, chapter 2.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger.
Swaddling clothes are like strips of cloth. Okay, then what else?
Because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord.
Right. In other words, when they had done everything, everything the law requires. The law. We have to obey the law of God, not the law of Satan. Satan's law is totally contradictory to the law of God. Then go ahead.
Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against.
Okay, I'm sorry, our time is up, but just before I ask people to pray through, I just want to get something straight with you from the Holy Word of God. Read that which Nathan said to David when he committed adultery, after David committed adultery. This is in the Aramaic Bible and also in the King James Version and in every version that I've ever read. Okay, go ahead, read it. Now, after David had committed adultery, what a man that just had one wife, and here he had several of them, and here Nathan the prophet came to him, told him the story about a man that had all these wives, and then he went to a person that only had one wife, and he took her. And so go ahead and tell what Nathan said to David. That was absolutely from the Lord. This Nathan was a mighty prophet of God.
This is chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, verse 7 and 8. And Nathan said to David, you are the man.
You are the man that is the guilty one. Then what?
Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over my people Israel, and I delivered you out of the hands of Saul. And I gave you your master's daughters and your master's...
But wait a minute. I gave you your master's daughters? That's plural. And then what?
And your master's wives.
And God gave him his master's wives, plural. God gave them to him. So anyone that says that that is of the devil, you're of the devil for saying such a thing. Then what else?
And your master's wives into your bosom. And I also gave you the daughters of Israel and of Judah.
Okay, the daughters of Israel and Judah as well. Then what?
And if they were too few, you should have told me, and I would have added to you twice that many.
Okay, because God chose him to have many wives, but not as for everyone at all. Anyone that thinks that they can do that because David did that, you're not David. Amen?
Amen.
And you're not Gideon, who had 70 sons. Okay, well, I see my time is up, and so those of you that, when the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. You know, women, young women can be married, and they really, even in some states today, they say it's all right for 11-year-olds to be married, especially when they get pregnant. But right now, let's go through this the prayer that will get you saved and get you to where you start understanding the Word of God. For once in your life, just say this to the Lord. Pray to him. Say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Raise your hands up and just thank and praise the Lord. That is, of course, if you're not driving a car or something like that. Now, Sharon, tell him several different ways how to receive a copy of this program, 280.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Him, I sing a song to you here again with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps called The Healing Waters. But first, I want to say thank you for listening to me, and thank you for whatever tithes you're going to send in here and offerings in order to get this word out, the true word of God. And so make sure you listen to me tomorrow for the facts and nothing but the facts from God Almighty himself. Okay, here we go. The healing water is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to heal you right now.
All the joy of sins forgiven, all the bliss the blood washed done, all the peace akin to heaven, where the healing waters flow. Where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial blows. Yes, there's peace and rest in love, where the healing waters flow. Now with Jesus crucified, at his feet I am resting low. Let me evermore abide, where the healing waters flow. Where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial glows. Oh, there's peace, that's this rest. Well, where the healing waters flow. Cleanse from every sin and stain, whiter than the driven snow. Now I sing my sweet refrain, where the healing waters flow. Where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial glows. Oh, there's peace and rest and love, where the healing waters flow. Oh, where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial glows. Yes, there's peace and rest and love.